Good afternoon. You're listening to Around the Block, a community news program from the Block by Block team at WPPM LP 106.5 FM. On this program, we'll explore issues in the Philadelphia region with voices from the community, through reports from our team of journalists and live in-studio interviews. I'm Crystal Herrera.
And I'm K. Michelle Watson. In this episode, we'll be talking about the Pennsylvania primary that's coming up on Tuesday, May 20th, and everything you need to know to cast an informed vote.
But first, Queen of the Park is an annual skateboarding competition for women and LGBTQ skaters held at FDR Skate Park in South Philadelphia. Five groups of adult skaters performed their best tricks to take home the crown, and there's a princess category for the youngest skaters. This year's competition is on Saturday, June 7th. To get a sense of what it's like, reporter Thomas Hagen attended last year's Queen of the Park and talked with athletes, fans, and family members about what the event means to them.
What did you come here today to do?
To skate with the ladies. I've skated every year because the energy is good every year. Ever since I started skating, I'm a skating Queen of the Park.
I skated this year, I blew it last year, and I skated the year before.
What do you mean you blew it?
I think you started tripping too hard.
Yeah, I was tripping way too hard when they called my name. I couldn't
so
get up
here,
off the ground.
Just weren't ready to...
I was here, but I was on another planet. I was like, dude, I'm such a failure. I had a bunch of people come out for me, and here I am just like laying on the ground like,
Yeah, put that on the radio.
What have you been looking forward to, like, coming back this year?
Redemption.
Last year was my first year ever being here. I'm from Texas, near Austin. Came back for the second year to have fun. It's really fun. It's meet new people, new friends.
Why did you first start skateboarding?
Out of sheer pleasure. Just, I wanted to. I saw other people doing it, and it looked fun. And I broke myself off when I first started skating, and I have metal in my ankle now, but that made me want to go even harder. And also the people that you are surrounded by, and it's just like fun, like it's just fun. I actually wasn't allowed at the skate park or like anywhere in that vicinity when I was growing up, and I always like longed to be in it. So in my adult years when I met some ladies that skate, they kind of just introduced me to the community and I just took it, I went from there.
Why did your family not want you to go to the skate park?
They were kind of religious and like also like skate park was like associated with like deviancy, drugs, like whatever else. And like obviously there's parts of that everywhere, but there's so much more community and so much more like challenging yourself, but also like hyping each other up. So I'm happy that I found it in my adult years.
What's your name?
Francesca Shuda. I'm 13 years old.
And what did you come here today to do?
I came here to have fun, be with other girl skateboarders, and I wanted to win the princess competition.
Who did you come here with today?
I came here with my family.
Do they come to a lot of your competitions?
Yeah. Mostly my dad. My dad supports me a lot.
Did you know a lot of other people who were skateboarding already, like your friends or people who live near you?
No, I know a lot of people. There's not many girls who skate in my area.
Do you feel like the people who are all skating together with you for the princess category, are people like friends with each other? They know each other?
Oh, yes. Everyone who skates any of the competition, we're super friendly with each other.
Do people ever become like rivals or really try to compete, or is it always friends?
It seems like everyone gets along with each other. We're just happy to have more girls that are skateboarding.
Have you ever had anyone in your life think skateboarding is too dangerous or it's like not for you, like they tell you they don't want you to skateboard?
No, I'm very supportive.
I just live in a small town in New Jersey. There wasn't like a lot there. There weren't any other skaters. And it was kind of like an off and on thing until I was 15 when I lived in Texas, also very isolated in suburban hell. Yeah, and I was just skating all the time then by myself. a couple years later, we moved up here, and like, I've been skating here at FDR since 2000.
This is actually like where me and her met.
Yeah.
And then we also got married here.
Yeah, it's actually, yeah, deadass.
You got married in FDR Park.
Yeah, deadass. I met him here, and when I met him, I was really shy, and I was like, oh, I want to get out there. Like, I was like trying to skate, but everyone there was like so good, and it was so intimidating, and I was like, ah. So shy, and he came over and he was like, just get in, water's fine. And I was like, okay. So then I started trying to skate, and he was like egging me on and stuff. So then like after I was done skating, I was like, hey, can I get your Instagram?
And then we
and now we're married.
I started skating because I was here at FDR painting. So like I started skating 4 years ago. This is the fourth Queen of the Park. One of my first big drop-ins was at Queen of the Park the first year. And it's on the Square Bowl. Just because the community is so supportive that it felt like this isn't a competition, it's something really cool to participate in. Like, it's a community-based thing. So it's not a competition, it's just a really great day for femmes to skate and to put the focus on feminine skaters is the goal, and so that's like, it's just for fun.
Yeah, nobody's here to like to win. Like, the people who like do win the contest, they're of course they're stoked and they're like, yeah, they like, but like, that's not the point.
This story was produced by Thomas Hagen. It's an excerpt from a longer documentary about Queen of the Park, which will be airing here on WPPM on Tuesday, June 3rd. This year's event is happening on Saturday, June 7th, and you can check out at FDR Skate Park on Instagram for all the details.
The Philadelphia primary election is on Tuesday, May 20th. Registered Democrats and Republicans will vote in primary elections for district attorney, city controller, and several judicial races. The winners of those primaries will go on to run in the general election in November. There are also some nonpartisan ballot questions that every registered voter can vote on, whether you're a Democrat, Republican, or independent. Join us live in the WPPM studio at PhillyCam to talk about the primary election is Julie Platt. Julie is with the nonprofit called Better Civics, which aims to help increase civic engagement and voter participation by helping ensure that people understand how government and elections work. She is also a political strategist who has worked on campaigns for politicians, unions, and nonprofits in the region, and Julie teaches classes on public health, policy, and advocacy at Thomas Jefferson University. Julie, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Okay, for folks who aren't tuned in yet, can you break down what offices are on the ballot this Tuesday?
Yeah, so on the ballot this Tuesday, you're going to be voting for district attorney, city controller, judges from the municipal court and the Court of Common Pleas, and then at the statewide level, you'll be voting for Superior Court and Commonwealth Court.
Okay, could you tell us what does the district attorney do and what does the city controller do? More specifics about their job.
Yeah, so the district attorney really handles everything having to do with criminal cases as well as the judicial systems in general. Larry Krasner is currently running for his third term against Patrick Dugan. And it is Larry also won. Last time Larry ran, he also had an opponent and he beat him pretty handily. Really, the thing to look for in this race is really like, how involved do you think the head prosecutor for Philadelphia should be? Larry has been really aggressive on certain issues, and Patrick Dugan is sort of being seen as more of the tough on crime candidate. City controller is another really, really interesting position, and everybody should check out the reports that they do. They're kind of like the auditor of the city. So they really look to make sure that our taxpayer dollars are being used effectively, and then they come out with reports on that. Right now, Christine Bradley is running unopposed, and then there is a Republican running unopposed as well. So you'll have both of them on your ballots in November. Just a quick example, so this kind of relates to people. The city controller's office actually worked, which is really important for Better Civics and a lot of the other good civic groups, to make sure that poll workers got their payments quicker. So it used to take like 8 or 9 weeks, and her report kind of showed that and where they could fix that. And then now it takes about 2 weeks. So now, you know, if you're a poll worker, you get your payment quicker. So those are just examples of things that she's done as controller and what the controller does.
Thanks for that. That helps a lot kind of clarify what those positions are. Another thing that has come up and comes up a lot during election is voter turnout. Usually it's pretty low in the off-year elections, and people often talk about voter apathy. And I noticed you have a page on Better Civics website. Could you talk more about how that impacts, you know, just our day-to-day lives when we don't turn out to vote?
That's such a good question. So I think the last time we had judges on the ballot that there wasn't a mayor on the ballot, it was a 21% turnout. So that means that if there's 10 people that you see, only two of them turned out to vote. There's a little bit more turnouts in years where there's the mayoral race. So there was, I think, 30%-ish last 2 years ago. But these elections are so important because they really, judges as well as these positions, really have a huge impact on your everyday life, right? So, you know, we see what's going on at the national level. It can feel like you don't have any control. But at the local level, your vote has so much control and so much impact. And you really have a chance to really show what you care for and what type of candidates you want to see by showing up to vote. So, and then I do think that we make it really hard to vote. The reason why Better Civics exists is that we tried to demystify the ballot and demystify and make it easier for every person to vote. We're trying to create better educated citizens so that they can be better voters. If you've ever gone to the ballot before and looked at what's on the ballot when you go, you know, you see, for example, sometimes you'll see 30 names of judges, and it is very confusing and it takes a lot of work. And so we don't make it easy for people to vote, and we don't make it even easier for people to know what's on the ballot. And so I think that's just, people just get so overwhelmed that they don't think it's important to turn out. But I will say that if you're unhappy with what's happening at the national level, or you know, you should really be involved in your local elections, especially one that's this important.
Thank you for saying that, because impact does begin at the very beginning of the foundation of voting.
So the race that's getting the most attention right now is the district attorney's race, and we have two Democratic candidates and no Republican candidates running for DA. And so as a reminder, in the Pennsylvania primaries, voters can only vote for candidates in their party. So this election is pretty important, will determine the next state DA. Is that right?
City DA.
DA, yes. So can we talk a little bit about the two Democratic candidates, former municipal court judge Pat Dugan and Larry Krasner, who has been the DA since 2018. What do voters need to know about these two candidates and their platforms?
Yeah, so, you know, you can sort of look and see Larry's platform he's been in office now for the last 8 years. There's been a national trend in the reduction in crime, but Larry has also looked and there's been a huge reduction in crime in Philadelphia. He's also really taken on like retail theft, but he's also really had a really interesting way of working with community groups, and he also has done a lot of work on criminal justice reform. He's really done a lot of work in looking at past convictions that have happened that might have had issues, and then having those people be released back into the community. He's also done a lot of work with bringing in really interesting people to his office to really sort of think about things differently. Then you have Patrick Dugan, who... Oh, something interesting, actually, I wanted to bring up is the Democratic Party hasn't endorsed either candidate, which it's just an interesting fact. Patrick Dugan is seen, like I said previously, is a little bit more tough on crime. He's being his endorsements come from the building trades. If you look actually at where he's raising most of his money, it's from certain areas of Philadelphia that are a little bit less progressive as well. He's gotten a lot of money from parts of New Jersey as well as the collar counties. He did actually outraise Larry 2-1 right now because he's been able to get money from lots of different places. But I will say that there's been a lot of debates. So shout out to everyone that has had debates in Philadelphia. So you can also go back and watch some of those debates or read some of the transcripts from those. And then the last thing I'll say, too, is that the Philadelphia Inquirer did endorse Larry. So
You can learn more about each candidate by checking out the many voter guides available online, including, of course, Better Civics, and also some great ones produced by Billy Penn, the Philadelphia Inquirer, Philly Mag, and the Philadelphia Citizen.
Okay. So if you are just joining us, this is Around the Block, and we're talking about candidates are also running in a number of judicial races. There are open seats on statewide courts, including the Superior Court and Commonwealth Court, as well as Philadelphia Court of Common Pleas and Municipal Court. And in the fall, voters will be asked to weigh in on the makeup of the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, where three judges are facing a retention election. But with so many judicial candidates on the ballot, it can be hard to know who to vote for, or even why we vote for judges in the first place. Reporter Casey Ruka spoke with Pennsylvania's For Modern Court CEO Debbie Gross to find out more about what voters should know about judicial elections.
Why should people care about judicial elections?
Judges impact so many different areas of individuals' lives, and state court judges have greater impact on individuals' lives than federal court judges. So, for example, our Commonwealth Court 2 years ago issued a decision that said the way we fund education in Pennsylvania is unconstitutional. That is exceedingly important, right? Says that we need to give more financial support for our education funding. Our Supreme Court has issued decisions concerning voter redistricting, mail-in ballots. Our Supreme Court has issued decisions about family law matters, how custody should be decided. These are matters that impact everyday lives of Philadelphians and Pennsylvanians.
In Wisconsin, we just saw the most expensive judicial election in U.S. history for a state Supreme Court seat. Over $100 million was spent, including over $20 million spent by billionaire Elon Musk alone. Can we expect to see a similar trend in Pennsylvania later this year?
I would love to say I hope not, but I think so. When these three Supreme Court justices who are up for retention election were initially elected in 2015, at that point in time, it was the most expensive Supreme Court judicial election in the country. So fast forward to now, it is rare that you have three Supreme Court justices up for election at the same time or up for retention election at the same time. So I would definitely believe, and we've heard word through the grapevine, that there will be significant monies in this election.
What are some resources for voters to make informed decisions about who to vote for?
So the Philadelphia Bar Association has a Judicial Evaluation, Retention, and Selection Commission, which does an exceedingly thorough job in investigating candidates. A candidate has to fill out a questionnaire and apply for the commission's review. This questionnaire details the candidate's legal history, personal history, where they went to law school, what types of cases they've had. Then a investigative team gets put together. It's comprised of five people, one of whom is a non-attorney. Those five people interview 20 people who were not given as referrals from the candidate. And the questions that the investigative team are looking into covers the candidate's legal experience. Does this candidate have good judicial temperament? This candidate's financial abilities, the candidate's involvement in community activities. The team also interviews the candidate. The team then comes up with a recommendation and presents it to the Philadelphia Bar Association's Judicial Commission. The Judicial Commission then interviews the candidate, interviews the investigative team leader. The commission makes a recommendation as to this candidate, and they post it on their website, electqualifiedjudges.com. It is a very thorough process. For our appellate court candidates who do not have an office in Philadelphia, they are vetted, investigated, and reviewed by the Pennsylvania Bar Association. And they, too, have a very similar process.
What kind of programming or resources does PMC have available to those interested in learning more?
So PMC has information on its website about the various courts. the candidates are running for. We also have a number of educational workshops. We also have recordings of various programs about the court system, how you navigate, what the different courts are and what they do. And finally, PMC holds candidate forums. We will also in the fall be holding a fireside chat with the appellate court retention judges and justices.
Thanks so much, Debbie, for your time, and hopefully this provided a quick overview of the upcoming judicial elections. For more information on PMC and the work they do, you can visit pmconline.org.
If you're just joining us, this is Around the Block, and we're talking about Tuesday's primary election in Pennsylvania with Julie Platt of Better Civics. Julie, is there anything you would like to add about the judicial elections?
Yeah, I think that was a great explainer, so thank you for that. I just want to do a quick correction to what I said earlier. They were not debates, they were forums for the district attorney's office, so just wanted to put that out there. So yeah, I think that they did a really great job. Pennsylvania for Modern Courts is an awesome organization. The one thing that I'll say is just how important these judges are. If you want to learn more about them, you can also check out Better Civics. We did really funny reels that kind of talk about more in depth about what the what each level actually means and how they work. But what I'll say is that these judges, especially the local level, are so important. I am a former social worker, and if you talk to people that work in social work, you know, a judge can have a direct impact on a client's life. It can decide if somebody gets incarcerated or if somebody loses their home, right? We have tenant lawyer courts, or if a veteran gets treatment, or if they have to go into prison. I mean, these judges are, and it is such a direct impact on someone's life in a split second compared to policies, which take a very long time to implement and to feel the effect of them. So, you know, if you care about your community and you care about the people around you, it's just very important that you vote for these judges.
Voters will also be weighing in on three ballot questions. Could you walk us through these three questions and what they mean?
Yes. So just wanted to say something also, which is really interesting. It is pretty rare to have a statewide ballot question. It's very hard to get ballot questions on at the state level. So it is really great that Philadelphia, we still are able to do ballot questions. So just wanted to put that out there. So this year, there'll be three ballot questions. One of them is the homeless service ombuds person. There's the housing trust fund, and then there is the prison oversight office. I can go into a little bit of quickly into those. So the prison oversight office is very interesting. It's being done by Councilmember Thomas, and it will be directed under the under public safety, and it will have a 9-person board, which will also include one formerly incarcerated person, somebody who's involved in criminal justice reform, and then there'll be 4 people appointed by the mayor and 4 people appointed by city council. If you have been following the news, there's been a lot of issues with the prison system in Philadelphia. And so this board is really going to be in charge of investigating those. They can also do random drop-ins and also have a direct influence because they are being appointed by the mayor and by city council. If there's an issue, it means that it will basically get council's attention much quicker than what's currently happening. The second one is the housing trust fund reform, which is done by council member Jamie Gauthier. And it wants all developers, in lieu of fees, to go to the housing trust fund, not the general fund, which is a little bit wonky. And you can find out the Philadelphia Citizen did a great write up on this. But what this really means is just that if a developer wants to build more, they either have to put affordable housing in or they have to pay into this trust fund. But a lot of that money is actually going into the general fund. So it's not really, there's a question if it's being used towards affordable housing. So this says that no, they can't go into the general fund. It has to go directly into the housing trust fund. Interesting to note, the Parker administration said that they potentially oppose this because they think that it will, citing budgetary concerns. So I'm not sure if that's been updated, but that's what the Philadelphia Citizen reported. And then the last one is the homeless services ombuds person, which is somebody that will be in charge of investigating complaints, monitor shelter conditions, and advocate for unhoused residents. It was basically sparked by funding misuse and poor service reports, and it will report directly to the inspector general.
Okay. I have also another question, and you can expand it if you like. Has there been any reports of problems voting And if so, can you, you know, give us an example and what they should do and, you know, what the process is?
Yeah, so I haven't heard of any issues with people voting, but sometimes what happens is that you'll go to the poll and your name might not be in the poll book. So then you have to vote provisionally, but your vote actually will still count. So those are some of the issues that I've really heard about. But it's actually really interesting. You can literally call the city commissioner's office and they always pick up. And if you're having an issue on Tuesday, you can just Google the city commissioner's phone number and they will pick up the phone and they'll be able to help you. I've called them many times and I've had issues. So that's a great, great resource. And then sometimes the Democratic Party will have a number that you can call as well as the Republican Party. I'm not sure if they're going to be doing it at this time, but you can also look up that number as well.
Okay, thank you for that. And also, we have voter guides, and some of them have been mentioned by us previously earlier in the show. But is there anything else that you want to add in where they can go to get information or pass it along?
Yeah, so just be careful. So when you're looking at the voter guides, they're different than endorsements. So a voter guide will kind of like what the Philadelphia Citizen does, or also the Committee of 70. They'll kind of just talk about each candidate and what they do and the ballot questions. But then you can also look up endorsements, which are a little bit different. And an endorsement is it can either be by a union, or it can be by a specific ward system, or it could be by the newspaper, right, the Inquirer, or it can be by certain progressive or organizations, right? So just make sure that there's a difference between the voter guide and the and when you're looking at how a candidate has been endorsed. So it's just to keep those two in mind.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that. Do you have any other questions, Phil, that you want to add in?
Looking ahead to the next year, what will Philadelphians be voting on in 2026? Do you have any idea?
Yeah, 2026 is our governor's race, which is huge, as well as all of the state house races are up again, as well as half of the state senate is up as well. So I think it's odd years. So our state senators serve for 4 years, our state house serve for 2 years, and then Josh Shapiro will be on the ballot again. We don't know who's running against him.
And one more thing, would you add as much as you can about Better Civics? I know we asked you and you're from there, but give people an idea of what they can do and where they can go as far as finding information on your website.
Yeah, so we have we do toolkits. We also, like I said, our Instagram is filled with very funny but informative videos about who you're voting for, what your ballot's going to look like, what is the difference between Superior Court and Commonwealth Court, what's the difference between Common Pleas Court and Municipal Court. We have a lot of information on that on our Instagram. We also have a TikTok, and then we also have information about in depth. We have different toolkits. We have social media graphics that you can actually download from our website and share with your community, as well as we have presentations that you can actually download. And then if you want to do a presentation on this work, we have scripts and things, and you kind of just do it with your community. But at the end of the day, Better Civics is really just about giving people the information so that when they go to the voting booth, they feel empowered. We're trying to work against voter apathy, because confusion, and when you have too many choices, you kind of just shut down. So our goal is to really break it down for people so that they feel informed and confident when they go to vote.
All right, then. Thank you, Julie Platt, for taking the time to speak with us today. And thanks to Thomas Hagen, who is our board operator for this episode.
Brad Linder is Radio News Managing Editor for WPPM. Peta Liu is Radio Operations Manager, and Allison Durham is WPPM's Radio Program Manager. I'm Crystal Herrera.
And I'm Kay Michelle Watson. We'll be back next month with another episode featuring more stories and conversation from our team of Philadelphia area community journalists. And you can find more episodes of Block by Block on PhillyCam SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you find your podcasts.
Thanks for listening.